Hi, I'm Brett Goodrich, proud Goodrich, and I'm the youth pastor here, if you didn't know, and today is like a youth Sunday, so me and Dad had talked about this, and he called me and was like, hey, do you just want to do it in like 3 weeks or whatever? And I was like, sure. So we're really excited about it. The purpose, if you notice that, like, oh, raise your hands if you need a Bible, and the ushers will bring one to you. I forgot to say that. I cued it. Did you guys already go through the lines? Did you do it? Did they do it? Yes, let's go. Right there. Anybody need a Bible? I blew it. That was my fault. I was supposed to cue them. That's all good. But if you've noticed that your ushers are like shorter than normal and younger, you know, we've taken over like every single part of it today. We did the, you know, the greeting and the worship, obviously, with Bryce and all that kind of stuff. And the purpose of it is a couple fold, because it's fun. But then also, for the youth, obviously, to serve and to know that they're a part of this overall body of Christ. But then also to put them in, like, you in front, or sorry, the other way, put them in front of you so that you can see them. I don't know, I haven't really counted, but I want to say that we have anywhere from like 50 to 70 kids, maybe, depending on the week and what's going on between Wednesdays and Sundays. And I just want to ask you to pray for them, sincerely. The things that we're going to talk about in this message are critical in the midst of their lives. It's part of why I'm bringing this up, so that, one, they're important to all of us. God applies it. But also, would you pray these into your life and theirs, please? It's a difficult world, especially one in which it's really hard sometimes to know what's true and to know who to believe about truth. And so we, on a Wednesday night with our youth group, which is kind of our big night, we just do fellowship. We do worship. 4 or 5 songs, and then we do the word. I talk for like 35 to 40 minutes, and they show up, and they listen, and so pray that the word of God would have its effect. It's kind of cool sitting in this room. Honestly, there's a rich heritage of like youth. I'm a former youth kid. Jordan was a youth pastor before me, but Brandon right there was my youth pastor back in the day, you know, and just it's sweet to see. And so the other thing I'm thinking about Bailey up here is I would ask you to pray for our leadership team. So I've got a few disparate pictures up here that I'm going to put up. But so this is when we all wore gray sweaters. So this is a few of us on the, and you know some of these people because they do other stuff too. But Mindy, Kate, Caleb leads the junior high, Amy, Keith, me. And then the next picture, I did not pre-approve this, so I apologize. That's Julia. That's my girlfriend. She's been serving youth for years. Sorry. And then the next one is, there's Bailey and Casey on the right side. Sam's awesome too. I love him. But I really like pray for all of us, please, as we serve. And then those two last two are super special to me because they're youth kids. Like they were a part of youth for a really long time. Bailey literally lives next to me. And that's how they ended up coming to church at Horizon. And like all the stuff, obviously Jay's on sound. It's sweet just to see what God is doing. But we have this group chat. And sometimes on this group chat, we have it's like, it's Wednesday. Because you wake up on a Wednesday sometimes, and it's like, why am I in a bad mood? Why am I in a funk out of nowhere? Like, why am I sad on a Wednesday? The text of the chat, like, it's Wednesday. Spiritual attack is very real. And we feel like we're honoring what God has asked us to do in how we serve the youth. And so the enemy seems to fight that a lot. So would you pray for the youth? And pray for us as youth leaders. Fair enough? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The crux of this message is essentially going to be like, the reason I bring it up is because this message is extremely important. We, as I said with the youth, teach through the Word of God. We just did an apologetic series, or we're like in the middle of it, almost done. Just been fun. Then we were in Matthew for like a year and a half. It's like, it takes a long time sometimes to get through stuff. But it was so good. But every single January, I will take time and specifically go through, like, I've got like 2 or 3 teachings, and, you know, I kind of switch it up a little bit, but I always repeat them, and this is one of those, because this teaching is, I first heard it in Bible college, absolutely critical to the way that all of us think, And the foundations that we set our life upon in our thought and in the deep needs of our heart. If I can give you an illustration, you all have children. And you know that, like, there's the age. I have four nephews. Sometimes when you're under pressure, you can't think. And I have two nieces, and I distinctly remember there was this age, right, at which they are mobile and kind of dumb. This is the part where I get in trouble. And also, like, kind of dumb and, like, not actually, but, like, sort of suicidal. You're just like, why, what are you doing? And they just kind of will run off the balcony, like, and you're kind of managing their daily existence in the sense of, like, trying to keep them alive. And imagine you're the person in your head, like, looking outside at the backyard, and there's the road, and they look out, and they see in the middle of the street these shiny golden lines in the middle of the street. And they think to themselves, I know what I'm going to do today. And they make it their aim right then to go out there and to play with the shiny yellow lines, right? And it's the greatest thing they've ever thought of. I have to go out. It reminds me of this story, actually, with my nephews involving a cat and a dump truck. I'll save that one. But they go out there towards the road, maybe attempting to reenact the cat and the dump truck. And, of course, what do? If you love them, you stop them, right? And what do? They absolutely wail, right? Because you are the worst person for doing that. There's a good lesson, in, I think, for us in the midst of that with the Lord. God sometimes is like, please do not do that thing. And we're like, wah, you know? Why can't I do that? And God's like, because you're kind of dumb. Just, I will try to explain it to you. But like, like there's a very obvious consequence here. You cannot see it. I just love you. Like, please don't do the thing. And sometimes we see obvious consequence. And other times we have to just trust the Lord that, like, the dump truck would come for us, the cat. I don't need to tell the story now. You can imagine the whole thing. But also, there's another piece to that, which is that for the kid, you begin to learn this critical life lesson, which is that the way that you think about things can be wrong, right? Like, it's possible for you to be incorrect. To firmly believe something and to feel it with all of your might, and you're also critically wrong. Just absolutely, right? And there is this large growth that has to happen in the midst of all of our lives where we take what we think and we filter it through the Word of God and counsel and everything else to arrive at what is actually true. And then we do the work of learning to live by that which is actually true, and not by what we thought. Anybody been there? It's a difficult process, for sure. There are lots of ways, obviously, that this applies, but I want to give you the encouragement of this first chapter of Ephesians, as it was first given to me by my dad in Bible college and totally changed my life about 10 years ago. It was huge. Because the things inside of this relate to the way that you think about the critical needs of your soul. They're huge things. And for all of us in this room, that can be slightly different. Some of the things I'll mention may strike you really deeply. And another person next to you doesn't really, that's not a big deal to them. Things like being wanted, being accepted, being loved, being safe, all of these. Some of you, the deep need of your soul is one of the things that I listed. And for some of you, it's something else. But in all of these, there is this important practice of where the way that I think about this thing matters. I want to feel wanted. What do I do about it? God has given to us the solution for every single one of those critical needs of our soul. And Paul speaks of a bunch of them in this first chapter of Ephesians. And so I'd just like to share it with you. He has blessed us. What tense is this verb? Past tense. That's going to be crucial going through this, right? These are not things that you must earn. These are not things that you must deserve or that will come to you if. These are things that God has already done. And it remains only for us to grab a hold of them and to live in light of them. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What are those blessings? Let's get into it. You ready? Past tense verbs. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What's the first past tense verb, English class? Chosen. You have been chosen by God. Speaking of English class in school, when I was young, I thought I was a ninja. Like, I don't even know what grade. Like, fourth, sixth, somewhere in there, okay? Brandon can testify. He knows me back then. And sorry. But I thank you for that uproarious laughter. I just thought I was like the super fast and agile, and imagined myself being like flipping and stuff like that, because I could do a flip on a trampoline sometimes. And so one day in gym class, there's dodgeball, right? Dodgeball, that's my game. Like, I imagine myself flipping over a ball, you know, as they throw it at me, just like side jump. And I've thrown a baseball like once or twice. Like, I play baseball. I did it once, you know. I'm ready. Because they line us all up. There's the two team captains. And as they start to pick, I know I'm going to get picked in front of the whole class, because, like, I'm a ninja. The athletic kids go, of course. Duh. The basketball kids are good at everything. But then there's a couple people that go after that. And you're like, I'm better than that guy. I'm better than him. And then, the girls. Which, like, no offense, but it's dodgeball. And finally, it's me and this other girl on the wall. And it's like new core memory. And I got picked instead of that girl. Like, yes. I hope she wasn't traumatized, but, you know. I had a picture of myself in my mind that was not true. At all. But listen, I wasn't necessarily chosen. Another way you could phrase this word chosen is wanted, right? To feel, to, like, in the deep need of our soul, some of us, like, that main thing is that you desperately desire to feel wanted above all, right? Just like I'm on the wall and like, you know, hey, Jesus wants you. And he doesn't pick you last. He's not like, I want you to know me. I want you on my team. I want you to, like, love me and walk with me. Not because you're the last guy on the wall and I have to have you. When in the order is God picking? He chose us in him when? Before the foundation of the world, right? That's when God had you in mind. You are wanted by God. Now again, think about this in terms of, if this is a deep need for your soul, the two ways that you can live your life, right? What does it look like for a life to be spent trying to feel wanted? Especially by the people around you, right? People are fickle. People are, I mean, I was upstairs in first service, like Bryce is up there, and I'm like worshiping the Lord, and I'm looking, you know, really spiritual, whatever, and I'm like worshiping, and then the next second, like, I'm catching myself thinking about pizza. It's like, people are everywhere, and so if you try to feel wanted by other people all the time, frustrated, unsatisfied, and there's a great potential that you could destroy your life. Because if you'll go to any lengths to feel wanted, there are a lot of lengths. Not all of them are good. You have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The second idea is that you and I learn to set our life on the reality that God wants us. And we learn to take this need inside of our soul that we feel so deeply, and we satisfy it with the truth of God. Lord, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't live our life attempting to get it from other people or other things, but we live starting from the position of being wanted and loved by God. Second, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We'll talk about this more, but simply, you are loved. For some of us, the deep need of your soul is simply to feel loved. It's a powerful thing. It's an important thing. We'll talk about this more as we get in. But again, consider, what does it look like to live a life in which you desire to be loved by everybody, or you seek it out from everybody else? Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons. I'm going to cheat my verb rule here a little bit, but because the verb is like predestined. But the point is that he has adopted us as sons, right? So, and daughters. You are part of the family of God, believer. By the way, if you're not a believer in this room, then this doesn't apply to you. It does in the sense of that God loves you and wants you, but you've chosen to reject all of this up until this point. I love you. May you please repent and give your heart to the Lord. All this is right here for you. But I'm speaking to the believers. You are our sons and daughters of God. May I put it this way? You belong with God, right? You belong. And some of you guys, I need that. I need to feel like I belong. We used to go to St. Kitts, and forgive me if I have some of the details wrong, but as a youth group, we would take mission trips there, and it was a sweet time. Obviously, Jordan was there for a while, and Brandon was there for a really long time. And it's a beautiful island, beautiful people, but it had one of the highest murder rates in the world for a while per capita. It was like in the top 20 or something out of all of them. And if you were a tourist, you were basically fine. It wasn't that. It was that there was gang-on-gang violence all the time across the island. So you can say, well, why does that happen? The reasons are myriad, but certainly a very strong one was that the entire sense of family or the family unit on the island had really broken down nearly completely. And so you had many boys who looked for community, looked for really family, and they didn't have it in their actual family. Maybe that's people here even. But they could find it in the gang. And in order to have acceptance or to walk in the midst of it and loved and belong and all that stuff as it goes in, like so often it came to wickedness in the midst of it. And so we see that the sense, the desire, which is a good thing, the human need for belonging drove people to do wickedness and destroy their lives. Listen, you belong in the family of God. I don't know everybody, and I don't know how your family is. My family's awesome. I've got the stage, and he can't stop me. So I want you guys to know that genuinely, like from me, mom and dad are the same people at home that they are up here on Sundays. Like, and I'm really grateful for that. Not everybody is that true for, and I recognize that sometimes you can miss that sense of feeling like you belong. Listen, I've got it for you right here. The Lord has it for you right here. You belong in the family of God. According to the good pleasure of his will. Again, God could have justly sent all of us, just let us go to hell, but he didn't. It pleased him to do all this. Verse 6. Yes. Oh, oh. Honestly, I feel like that fits. It's like, yes. Praise God. Let's go. Oh, you guys didn't think you'd hear me sing, did you? Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. They kind of all dovetail together, but you are accepted by God, right? People go their entire lives searching for that I might be accepted. Listen, God sees you, God knows you, and he accepts you right now, right? Now, people's ears go up a little bit, and they're like, because we live in a culture that conflates acceptance and affirmation, right? Those two things are considered to be the same, and then affirmation is in its place conflated with love itself. I'm so glad that God's definition for love is so much greater and deeper and more difficult than simple affirmation. But yet, acceptance, God looks at us and he says, I love you and I want you. You are accepted by God. Live your life in light of that fact. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. Sorry. I have to be careful about that kind of. Because I've got this thing on. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, if you think about it, like all the human engineering and time. that went into this thing. Like, it takes sound waves and then, like, converts them into digitals and then, like, shoots it off via light waves that we can't see. And then it, like, reconverts it. And it goes through a bunch of amps and stuff like that. And then, and it, like, all that time and engineering so that, like, I could do this. Praise God for technology, am I right? Science. Thank you. One time I accidentally did that. The first time I thought about that, I was doing a basketball game, like announcing, and I totally burped and thought the mic was muted. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Let's think about that word, redemption. Any couponers out here? It's kind of a dying breed. Nobody? Had a couple first? Okay, let's go. A couple first service over here? Yeah, you guys get a coupon ministry, all four of you, in Horizon. Be a good time. I love the Arby's coupons. Those things are awesome. You get the two for two. Anyway, you guys get the money mailers? Who sends those? Anyways, you know what I'm saying? Like, with a coupon, it says redeem because, like, you exchange it for its value. It's the same thing as money. You could translate this word purchase, right? To buy. And, okay, so I love Teslas. I have managed to work this into every sermon so far. I have no plans to stop. I love Teslas. They're so cool. You just go, and they go, like, I drove one once. It was dangerous to my sense of contentedness more than anything, but that's a joke. I'm kidding. But I used to go to the Keystone Mall, you know, and they had the Tesla store. Remember this? And so you all have your mall routes that you do. I would go, and I would do the Apple store, and I'd, like, touch an iMac, you know, and then go and get, like, yogurt, and then me and Dad would, like, walk into the Tesla store, right? And, like, I don't know if, like, what it was necessarily, if they're not supposed to approach you, but, like, when I would go in there, the staff would just kind of, like, they looked at me, and they were like, he doesn't have money. And they would just leave me alone. So I would go, and I would sit in the Tesla and be like, wow, this is cool. You know, it's, I mean, like, it drives itself, which is cool, and it's, like, electric, which is cool, I guess. And then, but, like, when you hit go, it, like, I could just, I love it. Anyway, if I go there, and I handed him my wallet, and I said, here, I want a Tesla for this, he would flick out the gnats and then take out the money and be like, you cannot, this is not enough money, right? Like, you don't have it. Because a thing is worth what it costs, right? The value of a thing is how much it takes to buy it. Or put another way, the value of a thing is what people will pay for it, right? Y'all seen those, like, art museum? It's like a literal blue square. Like, I could have, my three-year-old could have done that. And it sells for, like, oh, $15 million. Is it worth $15 million? I guess, right? What are you worth? In him, verse 7, we have been purchased by what? His blood, right? So, what does God consider you to be worth? His life. Like, he's willing to pay himself for you. So, you are valued. You are valuable. We talk about this a lot with youth. There's a couple things where this message kind of comes into play. Obviously, self-esteem in this sense, right? Of where, how do you think about yourself? And there's obviously, there's a lot of this is semantics to some degree, but there's the Disney thing, right? Of, like, believe in yourself at all times, no matter what. And then there's, like, but the heart is desperately wicked above all things, right? So it's like, how do we think about ourselves? We view ourselves, I think, with God esteem. And put another way, I am to view myself the way that God does. And so if my view of myself is incorrect, as with all of the previous examples, I learn to filter and replace my own opinion with God's opinion. So if I think that I am worthless, no, sorry, you are wrong about yourself. You do not get to decide that. God does. And so I replace it. And the other way around, of course, if I consider myself to be valuable more than other people, or rather, I consider other people to be not valuable. All of this applies to everybody, doesn't it? Even the waiter who gets our stuff wrong, or the person who's driving in front of us going speed limit. Right? Like, this is all true. Lord, help us, like, represent Christ and their value to other people in the same way. Like, that's your value and that's their value. We live in light of it. The other one, by the way, I think how this applies really strongly is in the issues of purity. Pray for the youth, everybody, all of us, help us be pure for our whole lives, right? But this question comes up, like, how come there's this giant amount of time where there's, like, you have, like, so at, like, 12 and 13, you're like, oh, my gosh. And then you couldn't get married or anything else until later, right? And purity, obviously, is something that we're concerned with for our entire life. But why this giant, why does God have this time of, like, where I just, all I do is struggle with this thing and there's nothing that can be done about it whatsoever? Why does God allow this? Oh, man. God's smarter than me, so I won't pretend to know exactly. But what I have found is that in the battle for purity, which is sort of another application to this section, are the seeds for victory in nearly every other area of life. And as you learn to walk in victory and the power of God in purity, you learn patterns that help you win everywhere else. And I think also in defeat as well. I mean, one, you deny yourself, right? That's an important lesson. I want the thing. I'm not to go there. Two, like, I learn to take every thought captive, that I am careful and I don't just think, but I think about what I think. And I take every thought captive unto the Lord. And then I learn to replace that which is wicked in my heart with that which is good and to walk in faith that God knows what he's doing. And all these things. And from learning that, you learn this. And in the same way, my value, I take and I replace what I think about myself with what God thinks about me. The forgiveness of sins. Three more, and I'm done. According to the riches of his grace, you are forgiven. I've seen people's entire lives ruled and ruined by guilt. Yeah? Maybe sometimes for legitimate things that are, like, actually evil. And if you've never repented in any sense, like, by all means, repent. But at the same time, God has offered for us forgiveness for those things where your life and your heart doesn't have to be ruled by that anymore. Where I do everything I possibly can, and before I was seeking penance and, like, self-destruction and everything else because I feel like I deserve destruction for the guilt, the sins of my past. Listen, no. Your life is not to be founded on guilt. That's not what's a word that starts with P? That means, like, good. It's not a good thing. It starts with P. Print, what? I don't know. Something. Yep. It's all good. All these are great suggestions. It isn't good for you to think, like, oh, you know, I deserve this, so I'm going to punish myself all the time. No. The heart of humility isn't that you hate yourself. It's that you think of God instead, right? Like, it's that I look on Jesus, not that I look on myself down. So, hey, forgiveness, God has offered it. If your life is ruled by guilt, your freedom is right here. Learn to live in light of this. According to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Two more, verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. Again, past tense, made known. Christian, you have purpose. You have purpose in your life. I'm very online, which is probably done. I love social media. It's just fun. I don't know. So I follow a bunch of people, especially on Twitter. And you're just like all walks of life. Like I really like space stuff. So I follow space people, right? And then there's like, I do some stocks and stuff. And so there's stocks people. And so you just get all this interesting stuff. And judge me, I guess. But sometimes, like, instead of tweeting about the thing that I kind of followed them for, like space, they'll tweet about their own lives the way that they see the world, which is fine. But often I see, like, them have no idea what their purpose in life is. And so much of their conversation on those lines is just them attempting to come to terms with the fact that their life means nothing, which isn't a fact. It's not a fact at all. We as believers have something that is completely unique in the world. There's a whole teaching I've done on this before where you go through and you try to answer each one of these, like value, belonging, purpose, in terms of how the world tries to provide for these, and it's got nothing. They don't know. We have purpose, and not only purpose, purpose that has eternal effect, to walk in relationship with God, to know him, to represent Christ to the world, and then to love and to work together, build each other up as a body of Christ, among other things. We have a purpose that's eternal. You have that. according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that at the end of the age he might gather together everyone in Christ, both those who are already in heaven and those which are still on earth, all of us together in Christ. Paraphrase a little bit, but verse 11, the last one. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. Past tense, you have obtained an inheritance. Your future is certain. Put another way, Christian, you are safe. You are secure, right? For some of you, the deep need of your soul is to feel safe and secure. And you'll do everything possible, from the people that you put around you to the way that you train yourself to the money and everything else, and you desperately desire to feel safe and secure. There is nothing in this world that can make that happen for this life. It's just like this life, there's lots of things. All who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. If you, like, don't have Jesus, you'll be searching after the sense of security for your whole life. Listen, I got it for you right here. You have obtained an inheritance. Your future is certain, right? At the end of the day, at the end of the life, or when Jesus comes back, it's over, and you know what's going to happen next. So whatever this life may go, and wherever it goes, to the left and to the right and up and down and all over the place, do we have security in this life? I mean, no. We have security way better in the next. And yet, I will not understate the fact that God walks with us, of course, in the midst of every single day, right? On this. And so we do have safety and security. So, nothing that we've earned, but simply, as the first three chapters of Ephesians go, that which God has already given to us. These things which we must learn to set the core of our soul upon, obviously the gospel and everything, but then also what the gospel implies, that you are wanted, you are loved, you belong, you are accepted, you are valuable, you are forgiven, you have purpose, and you are secure. What does it look like to live a life in which you try to find all of these things at all times? It's the world in which we live, right? Where people go after this. But as we learn to start here, Lord help us, man, the blessing that comes with God's security. Fair enough? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this time. I thank you for your word and how you have revealed truth to us. Lord, I thank you for the message of the gospel and that you love us and have given yourself for us. And Lord, we also praise you that you know us, you made people. And so you recognize the deep, the chief needs of our soul, and you have provided for all of them. Thank you. You could have just let us go. You would have been perfectly just to do that. But you're better than just, Lord. You're also good. We praise you. We thank you for your character, for who you are. Would you teach us to live in light of these? Would you teach us to represent them to other people? And Lord, also bless the youth. Bless us as youth leaders too. Thank you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen.